the gospel. They're taking that according to St. Mark chapter 16. At that time, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were at table, and he upbraided them for their lack of faith and hardness of heart, in that they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe shall be condemned. And these signs shall attend those who believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak in new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall get well." So then the Lord, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God. But they went forth and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them, and confirmed the preaching by the signs that followed. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. So today's considerations be taken from St. Alphonsus Liguori and his quotation of many other saints, but from St. Alphonsus. He says that St. Augustine, speaking of this gospel today, the signs that followed. Now, in the very beginning of our church, says St. Thomas Aquinas, the signs that followed, at the last verse of the gospel today, St. Mark says, and they began to believe because of the signs that followed. In the very beginning age of the church, there was the performance of many miracles. And the miracles were the signs. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself performed many miracles in order to prove that he was from God, that his work was from God, even the miracle of his own resurrection. But after a time, it is no longer meet or expedient to perform miracles, says St. Thomas Aquinas, for miracles cannot produce a lasting good effect. They can impress us for a short time, and we either profit from the miracle and move closer to the faith, or we reject it and are condemned or deserve a greater condemnation. But miracles cannot create a stable spiritual state for the church. And hence, in the very beginning, the saints showed themselves, especially by the performing of miracles. But as the church has progressed, how do we know the saints, says St. Thomas and St. Augustine? What are the signs that follow sanctity? The signs that follow those that are close to God. The signs, says St. Augustine, are the tongue. How we use our tongues. Our Lord Jesus Christ, we have just seen him arise up into heaven on this day. And he has ascended, risen from the dead 40 days ago. We have looked upon the cross. And we see how few words he spoke when he was upon that cross. But when we analyze those seven words, we find that they are all positive words. How do souls know that we are the friends of Jesus Christ? Only by hearing our words. And so a consideration, perhaps one of several, but at least here a first consideration in this sermon, on some of the sins of the tongue. In some commentaries of St. Bernard, St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi, St. Gregory of Nyssa, St. Augustine, St. Jerome. The tongue. St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi says it like this. She says simply, "If I would meet a sister in my convents, or meet any human being who had never detracted against another and no longer was given to this vice in any way, and did not any more tale-bearing or speaking ill of others in any way, then I will not wait for his canonization, for he is already a saint. I will canonize you." St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi said, "Those who do not sin by the tongue are saints. They are already saints." And then she said on the other side, but those who sin often by the tongue, and who do not try to overcome the vice of the tongue. As those who do not sin by the tongue ever are saints, so those who do not try to overcome the vices of the tongue, they are devils. And Saint Jerome tells us, travel through the different kinds of sins and find if there be any human sin that is not connected to the tongue. Whether it be anger or pride or even the sins against purity, sins of the body, sins of the heart, sins of the mind, they all involve in some way an evil use of the tongue. All of our sins against the neighbor are connected to the tongue. It is only the 8th commandment out of the 10, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. It is the least of the commandments as far as its obligations are concerned. And yet, it is in a certain way the most important, says St. Gregory of Nyssa. How do we use our tongues? Is the gospel inside of us? It is seen by what comes out of our mouths. Now, each of us is given to detraction and to the tale-bearing. And sacred scripture says there are 6 things, as the book of Proverbs, that the Lord despises. But the 7th one fills him with the greatest abomination. And this 7th is the sowing of discord by the tongue. And so there are many great evils that are communicated by the tongue. And what are the signs that follow those that are the members of Christ? It is the proper use of the tongue. Now, St. Thomas Aquinas tells us the tongue is one of the most mobile faculty of the human body because it is the most spiritual faculty. Human beings alone are able to speak and use words. Now, why do we have this power to speak and to use words? It is to communicate truth, to communicate goodness, to communicate charity. Now, the devil hates all of these things, and therefore, he attacks the vehicle of their communication. And he strives to sharpen our tongues through habits that begin in infancy, continue throughout our young adult life, and find themselves sharpened and well-honed by the time we arrive near the grave. This bitter use of the tongue has destroyed an infinite number of vocations, says St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi. Not only in the sisterhood, as she was speaking to her sisters, but also amongst the priests. If only we could know the harm caused by the sins of the tongue, we would be terrified to ever misuse it again, says St. Gregory. For the sins of the tongue do not stop at our death. There were lies spoken against the saints, lies spoken against the Catholic Church 2,000 years ago by the Jews, 1,000 years ago, 500 years ago. And these lies exist somewhere on the earth today. Know this, says St. Gregory of Nyssa, evil words will not perish when you die. And you will be punished for every effect of those evil words until the ending of the world. They are a ripple that goes out, and they do not ever stop going until time has stopped. How many discords were caused by the evil use of the tongue? The book of Proverbs speaks much against the talebearer, against those that have the evil use of the tongue. These have caused the fall of nations. They have caused the destruction of families, the ending of marriages, warring amongst brothers and sisters, conflict in parishes, conflict in our church, conflict in our society and in the world. In every single element in society, the sins of the tongue can be found. And yet, in some small instance, each one seems to be only a small sin. We associate the devil, we call him the father of lies. And yet, there are so many sins worse than lying. But it reaches so universally and causes such infinite damage. Damage that only God can see with his infinite mind and infinite heart. And that we will be able to see a glimpse of when we enter into eternity. St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi says, "There is no greater way to destroy authority than by the defaming of the character and the complaining of the judgments of the superiors of the religious house." And so each sister complains about the mother superior, and a new one comes in, and the older ones teach the younger ones, "Did you know this isn't the only time that she did wrong? This isn't the only bad decision that has been made. This has been going on forever." And we spread on the history of lies, and the history of evil judgments. And yet the Book of Wisdom says, when an evil word has entered into your heart, let it die there. So says the Book of Wisdom, when an evil word has entered your heart through the ears, let it be buried there. Let it die there. And then St. Bernard says, in his own time, there was a man whom he does not name. He was a contemporary of St. Malachy, the Irish monk. St. Malachy and St. Bernard were friends. St. Malachy was a very strict Irish monk. And there were some detractors speaking evil against him. And the chief amongst them, whose name St. Bernard does not give, was speaking evil against Malachy. And while he was speaking, his tongue became filled with worms, completely immersed with worms. When he would communicate or speak or breathe, the stench would come out of his mouth, and those who were near him could not stand to be near him. He was in such excruciating pain from the worms living inside of his tongue. He could not eat. And the poison of the worms in the tongue killed him in 8 days. He lived for 8 days and then died. This poison is in every tongue that speaks evil against his neighbor, says St. Bernard. Learn from this man. And there was another one speaking evil against St. Bernard himself. He was so angry with St. Bernard. He was speaking so violently and moving so violently that in the midst of his speech, he stuck his tongue out and he accidentally cut off his own tongue with his teeth. And he bled to death. It's actually one of the Japanese methods of suicide. If only we could understand the evil or the consequences of the evil use of the tongue. Two tricks to overcome this problem of the tongue and how evilly we use it. One, recognize or try to begin to recognize each of us, because none of us can claim innocence in this matter. Try to recognize how far-reaching is the harm done. This happened with many saints. St. Francis de Sales was one of them. St. Alphonsus Liguori was another. But St. Francis de Sales was one. In hearing of confessions, a woman detracted, the famous story. "I was saying evil words about a man," who said it 7 times. "For your penance," said St. Francis de Sales, and St. Alphonsus Liguori, and also a couple of other priest saints as well. "For your penance, go out, take a pillowcase, cut it open, and spread the down throughout the streets." So she went into her house, she got her pillowcase, she cut it open and spread it throughout the streets. She came back to confession a week later. "Bless me, Father, if I have sinned, I detracted 3 more times. Did you do as I said in the last confession and take the pillowcase and spread the down throughout the streets?" "Yes." "For your penance, go and gather up every single one of the feathers and put it back into the pillowcase." And the woman said, "But Father, the feathers are everywhere. How can I gather them? How can I find them?" And St. Francis de Sales said to her, How can you understand how much harm has been done by your tongue? It is easy to spread the evil, but who can fix it? Do not use the tongue in detraction anymore. They go down generations and centuries. The harm lasts forever, or as long as this earth lasts. It is necessary to fight against it. Some rules. St. Bernard of Clairvaux tells us, he says, when you see an evil done by someone, and it is inexcusable, what shall you say? You shall excuse his intentions. And St. Gregory the Great says, charity is never remorseful. Charity is never remorseful when it thinks well of someone that is evil. Charity is not sorry when it thinks well of evil. Such are the words of St. Gregory the Great. You never do wrong when you think well of another. As in the story of St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Thomas Aquinas, the greatest mind in the whole history of our world, from the time of Adam until the ending of the time, after Jesus Christ, greatest of all teachers of all time, so says our church. And yet his friends said of him that he was a dumb ox, that he would believe anything when it comes to people. A new student was visiting, and they told him, the University of Paris, a new student was visiting. They said, you see, Thomas, he'll believe anything. Why don't you go and tell him? There are cows flying in the air over the quadrangle. Thomas, come and look. And Thomas, really, there's cows flying over the quadrangle? Yes, there are. And Thomas rose from his seat and he went over to the window and he looked and he said, I don't see any cows flying. And they laughed. And he said, I would rather believe that there were cows flying above the quadrangle than that you would lie to me. And so St. Gregory the Great says, to have a charitable disposition towards our neighbors is never regretted, even when we are taken advantage of, or when we are mistaken and wrong. Such is the way of the saints. St. Pius X, the chief communist, of course he was before the official founding of communism, but the man was a communist. The chief mason, the chief communist, against him in the city of Venice, when he was the Patriarch of Venice, tried to destroy St. Pius X, Giuseppe Sarto, the Patriarch of Venice. Well, the news came to St. Pius X that this man was going to lose his house, lose all of his possessions, because he wasn't paying a bill to fellow masons, and he was in great distress. St. Pius X sold his pontifical ring. He sold all of his possessions. He took the money and he went to the house of his worst enemy. He knocked on the door and he said, I know you need this to make a payment so that you don't lose your house that he deserved to lose. And he gave it to them. Charity does not regret doing evil to those doing good to those that are evil, says St. Gregory the Great. And such is the constant practice of the saints. And yet we always look for evil in others, communicate about that evil, and this evil enters into our hearts. And so St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi gives a couple of rules. She says, rule number one, never say in a person's absence what you would not say to their face. And remember, talebearers are hated, as it says in the Book of Wisdom. He is the abomination before God, and he is the scorn of men. And so, remember this. Do not say in one's absence what you would not say in his presence. There's always a traditional roast. It is that gathering by which everyone gets around the table and talks about the one who is missing. It's an essential part of every good meal. There has to be a roast. Well, we need not to roast those that are absent. And yet we always do. And we never think. St. Gregory of Nyssa says, why don't you think the last seven times you were at a meal, says St. Gregory of Nyssa, there was one of each of your friends missing, and each time you spoke evil against that person, and today you are missing. Guess what they're talking about? Now, if you do not want others to speak evil of you, do not speak evil of others. For many, says St. Gregory the Great, it is a defense mechanism. The talebearer trains others to detract and bear tales. As if it begins as a defense mechanism, they know you're thinking evil against them, and so then they speak evil against you, and then it becomes a habit, and you become responsible for their habit. And every sin they commit from then on, says St. Gregory, you have a partial responsibility and shall be punished. It is a sin which just reaches and reaches and reaches its tentacles into all parts of life. It'll reach people whom you will never meet in any time in your life. When you enter into the fires of purgatory, you enter the fires of hell, you will burn and you will see a man you have never seen before. Why am I burning because of this man that I have never seen before? Why do I suffer because of this man whom I have never met? He did not even live in the same country as me. And then you will see the chain of sin and how it began with your word and it spread to the ends of the earth. So the first answer, says St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi, do not say in the absence what you would not say in the presence. But this is not sufficient because there are some of us who are rather bold and have no problems cursing people out in their presence. I have no problem saying evil words against you in your presence or your absence. It doesn't matter. Now here St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi says, it is not sufficient to not speak in the absence what you would not want to say in their presence, but you must rather speak as though you are speaking to yourself. She says, you must speak as you want others to speak to you. That's how you communicate about your neighbor. How are we to talk about the faults of our fellow monks, says St. Bernard? We cover them. For the voice of the good man is a scarlet lace, says the Book of Wisdom. And what is a scarlet lace, says St. Gregory of Nyssa? He says, it is the tongue of charity that covers all vice. We hear about someone making a mistake, someone doing something foolish, someone doing something wrong or something mistaken, and the tongue of charity covers it. Changes the subject, does something, makes excuses. Wives must always make excuses for their husbands. It's a good place to start learning this habit. There's plenty of opportunities. And wives need to learn how to make excuses for their husbands. Husbands need to learn how to make excuses for their wives. We all are good at making excuses for ourselves. And we do it so well that we don't even know we're doing it. How come you're making excuses? I'm not making excuses. And so St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi says, speak to others as and about others as you would have others speak to you. This is even in the realm of reproof. When you do a mistake, you make a mistake, you want to be corrected, but gently, patiently, kindly. And so it must be in our correction of others. And generally, we don't follow these rules. But we need to try to begin to follow these rules of St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi, St. Gregory the Great, and so on. That we must learn to communicate in charity. This is the sign that follows, says St. Alphonsus Liguori. It's the sign. The sign of the presence of real Christianity. The sign of the presence of real sanctity. The sign of the presence of the gospel inside of our minds and our hearts. Travel through all the words of Jesus Christ, and you will find very few evil words. And when they are said, they are only for the good of the other. What thou must do, do quickly. He says it for the good of others. Friend, wilt thou betray the Son of Man with a kiss? He is given an opportunity for Judas to repent. He makes an excuse for Judas when he goes out the door, lest the others would think evil of him. They thought he was going to administer something to the poor, and Christ confirmed their thoughts by saying, what thou must do, do quickly. Oh, he must be on a mission from our Lord. He must be about doing good, and our Lord did not change their opinions. They would learn reality for themselves. It would not have done any good to tell them he is the betrayer. Peter would have run him down and killed him before he got to the end of the street. Saint Thomas Aquinas says, he did not tell because Peter would have killed him. And it would not have been good for Peter. And it would not have been good for the work of the redemption. So Christ himself did not speak evil against Judas, who was the betrayer. And if Christ does not speak evil against Judas, then we should not speak evil against our neighbors. I'm going to close it at that. I'm just trying to have a better use of our tongues. Tomorrow morning, 8:30 a.m., the Mass here. And then on Saturday, the 11 a.m. Mass with the graduation and so on. I'm going to close it at that. And God bless you all in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.